Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, I am very proud to bring you the Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign Podcast, and we have as our guest, Tenafly Mayor Mark Zinna. Greetings and welcome, Mark. How are you?
Good, Hercules. How are you doing this evening? Thank you for having me on again.
Thank you for coming on, and I'm looking forward to our conversation, as I always do. We're living in an eventful time.
That's one way of putting it, yeah. we certainly are. There's a lot of things going on. Across a broad spectrum of topics, food, medicine, health, I mean, all kinds of things happening. And, to your point in your introduction, we're doing everything we can to meet those challenges. So, I'm happy to be here to talk about that.
And I'm very blessed to be living in a town like Tenafly because I've had time over the half decade or so I've been here to get involved with things in the town. So I've seen, the sincerity and the zeal with which, people try to make Tenafly a great place to be. So I'm very appreciative of that.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Where would you like to start? Go ahead.
I would like to start, I guess, with the COVID vaccines. I've heard that come up in many conversations. People are asking about the COVID vaccines and when they can get them. It seems some identified groups are able to get the vaccines, but a lot of people are calling and everything's booked. So since that's something that's on people's minds, and I see it online too, I guess we'll start there.
So let's talk about the vaccines, the way without going into, a diatribe of how things could have been rolled out or how things could have been managed. The situation is the way it is in terms of limited numbers mm-hmm. of supplies right now, which has a lot to do with, production and questioning whether we should be distributing these vaccines at mega sites or through local pharmacies and doctors and things like that. In Tenafly here, we recognize it for what it is. So we're working, out front and behind the scenes to get the people eligible so far vaccinated. We've made arrangements with Englewood Hospital, which are, they are great.
Yes.
Great neighbors and the professionals who run that organization over there, they really go out of their way to try to help people, and they really have proven themselves in this particular time. They've helped us get people vaccinated. The ShopRite in Englewood has a pharmacy there. They've vaccinated a significant number of our first responders. They have helped us with that. And, of course, we have a relationship, a partnership we're in with the town of Leonia, for which I have to give, a lion's share of the credit to Mayor Ziegler over there for putting this all together and having us as partners. This past Saturday, whatever that was, six days ago, we wound up running a vaccine clinic where we vaccinated 217 people. About
wow.
half of whom were Leonia residents and the other half were Tenafly residents. And we did it through an online sign up this past Tuesday at 8 p.m. And we basically announced it to the town via a code red message. And, it went very quickly. In 5 minutes, all the vaccines were booked. Interesting. We had enough vials officially for 200 vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But because they overfill the vials, We were able to get almost a full extra vaccine out of every single vial. So we wound up, instead of vaccinating 200 people, we vaccinated 217. And many people might not get excited about, 17 more people, but, those 17 were senior citizens, and that means the other person in their household then won't catch it from them, that sort of thing.
Right.
So it becomes exponential. And we hope to do more of that. We're expecting to get more vaccines from the state to Leonia and Tenafly. And then we'll keep announcing that to the community as soon as I have vaccines in our hand. One of the things I don't do with this is I don't pre-sell the program. In other words, right now we don't register people because we don't have any more vaccines, and I don't want to make we don't want to give any false hope or make promises we can't keep. So if all of a sudden Trenton sends us 200 more vaccines tomorrow, then we'll have another program this weekend and get needles in people's arms as quick as possible.
That is awesome. And these are, which of the three company vaccines have we been using in Tenafly?
So we did the Moderna. We received the Moderna vaccine. It wasn't, frankly, it wasn't like we had a lot of choice. They were like, the state said, this is what's available. And our response was, that sounds great. Send it to us. And we're guaranteed to get the second dose batch. So we'll have that the week of, I guess it's about March 29th, where the people who got the first dose will come back for their second dose.
That is awesome. On the news for the past few days, it was announced that Texas and I believe Mississippi are doing away with mandatory mask wearing, and they're opening up businesses. How will New Jersey handle that? Because it'll be difficult over the pandemic.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. That's the technical term I'm going to use. It's crazy.
Okay.
When I was in grammar school, I ran track. The number one rule was you never look back and you never stop pressing and pushing until you're past the finish line. And it's the same basic rules apply. I really do believe that more people have to be vaccinated before we can start with this sort of, okay, it's a free-for-all, go back to normal with the masks, and removing them. I think we need to have a significant portion of our society, the nation, vaccinated before we loosen up on the mask issue. And the issue with restaurants and houses of worship and capacity, we could have all those debates of whether it should be 25%, 35, or 45, and there's economic issues involved. But let's face it, wearing a mask isn't really a big inconvenience. We're all so used to it now, right? I forget to when I come out of a store, I forget to take it off in my car, not because I'm so neurotic. I just don't even remember taking it off. I don't remember to take it off anymore. It's really not a big stretch to wear a mask, and I think that's one of the last things that should be lifted. At the end of the day, if you and I are in a room with each other, you don't want me sneezing on you under normal circumstances, right? Why? Because you can catch my cold and you don't want my DNA, right? So why not wear a mask until this is all over? That's my opinion. I think there is a concern that if people are traveling from Texas and Mississippi, is that going to exacerbate a situation? I guess time will tell.
I guess it will. I know I had to modify some of my programming because I deal with a lot of fringe subjects. So when people were talking about that type of things, they were getting very excitable about it. So I had to tell people that have shows on my channel that we can't discuss these things because it's too divisive. And
I don't get the divisiveness of wearing a mask. I mean, again, back to the restaurant. I mean, there's lots of issues with that, but I'm not sure why people politicized wearing masks. I don't like following orders and taking, instructions from other people and being told what to do. But at the end of the day, wearing a mask, it just seems like simple common sense. It's not really a complicated topic. It's almost like even if it doesn't work, So what? What's the downside risk? Wear the mask.
Oh, I'm in 100% agreement. We're going to wear the masks and social distance regardless of what we're told until we're informed by medical authorities that everyone agrees that it's now okay to resume your life as you had it before.
And life is rapidly, life is and will rapidly get back to normal, you know, whatever normal is, you know, at some point.
It's been an interesting experience. I mean, aside from all the sickness and death, which is horrible, the scale at which we've lost people and people are currently affected by the virus. I found that it's forced me to make changes in my life that were much needed, actually, and also to ask myself some very difficult life questions. And that in that sense, it's been a boon. And on the show, too, talking to a lot of different people, people have brought up the same thing, that, you know, basically, despite all the things that are terrible about this, if you allow yourself, you can get, you know, something good out of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the right thing. That's the right attitude to have. You know, Hercules, it's going to take, you know, 5 to 10 years before the scientists, the doctors, geneticists, whoever, actually figure out what has happened over the past 14 months or so. You know, when they look at the statistics, the data, the age groups affected, all that sort of thing, is going to take several years to figure out what did we do right, what did we do wrong, how do you prepare next time. And it all remains to be seen. You know, we're in the midst of the battle. We're just trying to get out of it. But the downloads of what happened and the studying of what happened will come soon enough.
That it will, I have no doubt. I heard yesterday from a friend that I hadn't spoken to in a very long time. She's associated with a animal rights and animal conservation group out west. And she was saying that out there, people are taking advantage of like hiking and camping, and you're doing a lot more things outside than you were doing before. Tenafly has a lot of parks. Are we doing the same as Tenaflickians? I haven't had a chance to go out much, but I used to see people walking a lot more before the mask mandate, but too. Are people taking advantage of our parks?
Let's talk about that and three topics: dogs, parks, ice skating, senior citizens. So, okay. In no particular order, let's talk about people walking. We have a lot more people walking on the streets, significantly more. And there's also a negative reporting structure, and the negative reporting structure is people I hear from who sometimes get very concerned that other people walking aren't wearing their masks when they are. And the also negative measurement I have is the number of people concerned about people walking dogs and not picking up after dogs. So those two topics in the past 9 to 10 months have grown exponentially. Because there's more people walking their dogs further distances and not picking up after them, okay? And people walking, of course, without masks on. And so that becomes in itself a measurement tool to understand how many people are out in the streets that actually raise those issues. So it's a little anecdotal, but that's going on. And just from – you can see there's more people on the streets if you wander around. Which is a very healthy thing. The senior citizens classes, which typically always took place in the senior center, and I have to do a shout out to Michelle Hausch.
She's awesome.
She and her number one supporter over there, Trish. It's unbelievable the work that these two women have done over the past 12 months with making appointments for seniors, getting meals to seniors, driving people around, getting snow plowed, getting garbage picked up. It's just people, the town has no idea how much these two have been doing for the seniors behind the scenes. So, but the senior center typically had all the classes inside because they were seniors. And so they kind of needed to be in a safe environment, heated, cooled, that sort of thing. Now, all their classes for the past 6 or 9 months have been going on for the most part at Oresco Park, which is across the street from the post office. And so the seniors have been having these outdoor classes in the fresh air, 5 days a week, socially distant. So it's been a very healthy sort of atmosphere. In the warmer weather, we serve them box lunches. They dine outside. They have chairs out there. So it's been, to your point, they're outside, active, dancing, singing, poetry, art, all that sort of stuff. So it's fabulous. It's really a fabulous program Michelle's running.
That is great to hear. I know, I think very highly of her. I've had the opportunity to speak with her several times. What you're describing deserves an award. So I think the Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign, I will assign them an award for what they're doing. Their outstanding work.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. That's fabulous. Our friends up at the Nature Center, sometimes they have to limit the number of people that show up because they had to put up like yellow police tape to make sure you don't walk here and stay on this path, because they've been overwhelmed with a number of people simply showing up wanting something to do that was healthy and with nature that they can do with their families. And basically you've got people wandering through the woods looking for chipmunks that never considered doing that, to the point that it was getting too crowded up there, which is nice to see. And so there's another example of people being outside consistently, which was wonderful.
That is wonderful. I'm glad that people are doing that. We've monitored the parks, and in our informational resource on Facebook, there's a link to information on every single park in Tenafly. I know that when Andrew was available for the Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign, he and his family did some reports on the different parks and their accessibility. So the parks are something that's very near and dear to everybody's heart, regardless of what other concerns they may have. So I'm glad that people are using them.
Oh, absolutely. So are you talking about Andrew McKesh?
No, Pecorella.
Oh, Andrew Pecorella. Oh, okay, great, yeah. Great. The parks. While we're talking about the parks, let's talk about the Churchill Nature Preserve.
Okay.
And the Churchill Nature Preserve up on Churchill Road for several years had kind of, there was some storms, of course, and so it fell into what I'll call natural disrepair. You know, trees had fallen over the paths. The different walkways and everything kind of got disturbed and washed away, that sort of thing. And one of the Boy Scout troops, they were working on their Eagle Scout project, and three of the scouts, they spent months up there rebuilding the entire pathways of the Churchill Preserve. And they opened, we opened it up again about a month or so ago, and it's just absolutely magnificent, and people are able to use it again safely. So if anyone gets a chance, they should go up the Churchill Road. And, it's a place for quiet walks and contemplation. It's only about 2 acres of land or so. And so it's a fun place. It's a peaceful place is really what I should be saying. It's peaceful up there. And there you go. The scouts did that. And it's another thing the residents love.
That is fantastic. Any updates on the Northern Greenway project? Northern Valley Greenway project?
Yeah, the Northern Valley Greenway project right now, through a couple of members, and I'm helping them out with this, and we're in direct contact with CSX, trying to work out some details of what the cost of purchasing and or long-term leasing those rail lines would be. And so they're kind of, that's been going on for the past few weeks now, and we're waiting for hopefully some good news to understand what the economics of that are going to mean. So it's slowly but surely moving forward.
And you had mentioned the ice skating rink, so I'll ask about that.
Right. So we receive the town of Tenafly, and Councilman Adam Michaels gets the credit for this one for sure, and the residents who have been helping him put this together. There's an ice skating that he received about, I think it's $50,000 in donations.
Wow.
That was donated to the town. And then so it was all paid for through private donations, money given to the town. And then the town went out and bought what is, if you can imagine, a puzzle that snaps together. This is an ice skating rink that snaps together. And
wow.
It's some sort of heavy duty plastic design. It's specifically designed for this. And then you're able to ice skate on it as if it's real ice. And, you know, a fence goes up around it. And it was erected over the past couple of days in over by the basketball court, you know, on the basketball courts at the corner of Tenafly Road and River Edge Road. And we're having a soft opening this Sunday. And I think 160 people have already pre-registered and sold out the whole day of Sunday. And it's just fantastic, you know, that the residents came together to fund this privately. It's being administered by our recreation department, which is run by Jamie Cannon, who does a fabulous job. And a little funny thing, I went over there about 6 o'clock today, 6:30, just to see the ice rink up. And Councilman Michaels was showing me a video of him skating around the park. You know, somebody filmed it on his phone. And then he showed me a second one. And I have to tell this story where he was doing a little selfie of him skating.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I can't let you, don't tell anybody about this. So of course the first thing I'm doing is announcing it on a radio show. But it was a selfie of him filming himself smiling, and then the camera went crazy because he fell right on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Ice skating because he was busy taking a selfie. And so I just got a good laugh out of that one.
You should put it on Facebook or on YouTube. Have it go viral to draw attention to the skating rink. So the town owns this now. So this is something that can be puzzled together every year, or you know, several times a year.
That's exactly what the whole goal was. That the council decided they wanted to do. And because this is a year-round thing, you can go ice skating in the you know, 110 degrees in August now. Doesn't require refrigeration or electricity. It just snaps together. You put on your skates and you go. So it's a wonderful addition. It's another outside event. It's an outside program for you know, children and adults alike to enjoy. So it's fabulous, and it's another.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
No, I just said that. That's awesome. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and it's another COVID-inspired idea to get the heck out of the house.
So, see, challenges lead to creativity and to enhancements in the quality of our life. So that is an awesome thing. You mentioned the
Correct.
Dog problem in the streets. So I'm thinking about the dog park. I know that that was supposed to open, and then because of the pandemic, it didn't. I then lost track of it. Are the dog parks still open? Is the dog park still open? Or?
Yes, we absolutely opened the dog park. You know, we did a you know, we didn't have a big celebration or a ribbon cutting but we actually opened it. I want to say last February, virtually a year ago. But then we were planning on doing a ribbon cutting ceremony and naming. And the pandemic hit. We let the park, we closed the park, you know, for a month or so while we figured out which way was up. And then we reopened it probably in April or May. I'm losing track of, you know, the exact date without my notes in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
In late spring, we reopened the park and we have left it open and people are using the park. I was over there visiting, just watching the goings on this past Sunday. And there were about, you know, 10 people or so in there. There's two fenced-in areas. It's over on Grove Street. And people use it, and the dogs were running around, and everybody seemed happy.
Oh, that is incredibly awesome. I remember that, like with the Northern Valley Greenway, when it was an idea flying around Christine's head, and she was doing a bunch of things to try to get it started. So I'm really glad that that's a reality now and that people can enjoy it with their dogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
My dog is too small to take advantage of it. I have a tiny Chihuahua, so we don't take her outside.
Okay, well, you could take the Chihuahua. There's a small dog park there if you're comfortable with it.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, and you can, big dogs go on one side, little dogs go on the other side.
Good to know. So, sorry, so there's all these wonderful things happening. How about the regular events that happen? The walk that takes place every year, the 5K walk. I believe it takes place in two locations, one at the JCC and one inside the town, where there are these walks that happen. And then we usually have a pet parade and pets in Oresco Park. Are those still going on with the pandemic, the outdoor activities?
So most everything like that got canceled last year, okay. And we're still not sure this year. You know, we did our concerts in the park last year,
but a concert
where everyone is basically stationary in one position is relatively easy to manage. When everyone's wandering, walking down the street, or walking their dogs in a group, a moving event becomes a little more challenging. As last year certainly it was. We're hoping that this year we can resume those activities, but we're cautiously optimistic, and we're taking a one day at a time approach to it, and so we'll see. I tend to lean on plan the event, and if it has to get canceled at the last minute, so be it. So that's probably where we're going to start on some of this stuff. Right now we're planning on a food truck festival, first time ever in Tenafly, and it is it's the brainchild of the High School Homeschool Association, the HSA, and they're using it as a fundraiser for Project Graduation, and they approached the town about it. And, the food trucks will be stationary. People would come in based on, you'd get a time ticket, so that you show up at 7 o'clock, or maybe you show up at 6 o'clock, stay for an hour, get your lobster rolls or what have you, and go on your merry way. And so we're dipping our feet into that and hoping that can happen. We're waiting a final decision from the council based on safety, based on very important safety issues. And we'll do the same thing for other events if the sponsors want to do that. We'll plan for social distancing, knowing that if things go south, we'll have to cancel last minute.
Wow. So a lot is going on despite the pandemic.
A lot is going on despite the pandemic. You know, I have to tell you, this goes to the issue of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
We have these things going on despite the pandemic, not because we have, and when I say we, I mean myself and the borough council, not because we're cavalier about the pandemic at all. We have, on all these issues, very spirited debates around the council table about what we should do and what we shouldn't do, what's safe, what's not safe. And, one of the things I will say that all the council members and myself, of course, we want to do what's best for the residents. And we argue over what we believe is best for the residents. And we all recognize that the mental health issues associated with being basically a prisoner in your own house for 13 months is a bad thing. And we don't need doctors and scientists to tell us that that's bad. We all know that's bad. And so a lot of the things we're doing, in spite of the pandemic, with great caution, is because we believe people need to still function. They need to have activities. They need to be out. Even if it's from a distance across the street, they need to see their friends and wave, whatever the heck it might be. They need to go to a concert, listen to some music. And that's very, very important. And so that's why the council and I, are doing whatever we can to try to normalize the situation. And I don't think the mental health issues of this coronavirus lockdown can be ignored. I think it's a significant issue.
Indeed. And while we're talking, I will give you a report on what the Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign is doing too, and this way that could be included.
Great.
With all this stuff. Basically, because of the pandemic, we're not meeting at present. However, I've been recruiting local partners, individuals, and businesses who are interested in and dedicated to making Tenafly a healthy place to live. We have this podcast, and some of our local partners have been on the podcast. And then people from outside of Tenafly who liked what we were doing, I've labeled them friends of the Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign. So they're people who have their own podcasts or other types of entertainment, or they hold workshops or events, so they've made these available free to people in Tenafly. I started sharing my own journey for fitness. I'm in my 60s. I have diabetes type 2, but I'm very dedicated to remaining as healthy as I possibly can. So I share my adventures and misadventures through a group on Facebook, and I've invited other people to do the same. And currently we have, I believe it's 12 podcasts per month that are dedicated to optimal wellness. Most of the hosts or the regular guests in these programs have become friends of the Tenafly Mayor's wellness campaign. Two of the council people CC'd me on a note to Oradell. So sometime this month I will be attending a Zoom meeting with the folks in Oradell that want to start an ADA.
Excellent.
Over there. And here, the ADA, right now, we're not meeting because the members who used to come to meetings are not available right now. So we've taken a hiatus. We have a group on Facebook. I'm in contact with the other members, and we're just waiting for the pandemic to pass. For the Mayor's Wellness Campaign, I started asking for people who'd like to volunteer for a committee. So far, one person expressed an interest, and one person was suggested to me by one of the local business owners. In a nutshell, that's pretty much what's going on. I launched another Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign group where I addressed the question of, if you would like to help other people with their health, and you're not a doctor or a medical professional, you know, what are your options and what are the pros and cons? So we took a good look at MLMs for a couple of weeks. You know, basically what you need to be careful of if you get involved with the MLMs, both in terms of their products and their business structure. And now we're looking at the mostly unregulated vitamin supplementation business.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And then I've been attending every workshop I possibly could that the folks who run the Mayor's Wellness Campaigns have been hosting.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, there's a lot going on. I can understand why the ADA committee is kind of taking a hiatus during this particular time. But it's like everything, it goes through cycles. And
yes.
I'm sure they will come back strong. Since you mentioned ADA, it's important issue. East Clinton Avenue this year, it looks like we'll be receiving a grant from the county to replace, as a matter of fact, we just voted on it in a council meeting to approve it last Tuesday, to replace to install ADA ramps up and down East Clinton Avenue.
Awesome.
I think it's going to start over by right at the bottom by the Clinton Inn area and Our Lady of Mount Carmel, that area, and work its way all the way east. I'm not exactly sure how far, but pretty far, to put all new ADA ramps in on the street corners. So that's something that's very important and will mean even more people will be able to safely walk up and down that street.
I will let my members know that. They'd be very pleased to hear that. We're very pleased with the changes that you made under your administration with the crossing, and so that is an awesome follow-up. It's you know, way beyond what we could have hoped for. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's, you know, thank the council members. That's without their support, we wouldn't be getting anything done that's good for the community. So, you know, I appreciate all the work that the council members do to make this happen.
And I'd like to extend out to our listeners that if you have anything going on in or near Tenafly or that could be of interest or benefit to the people of Tenafly, just let me know and we'll promote it very heavily here on the podcast and also on Facebook.
Yeah, speaking of promotions, you know, every Friday I do my mayor's message to the community.
Yes.
And you know, I like to, you know, there's two aspects of that. One is, you know, I like to give the community an update of what's going on COVID world-wise. And then I also like to include in my update, you know, some of the more, you know, positive, whether it's local sports news and, you know, some of our, you know, kind of high school heroes who have done wonderful things in terms of achieving different sports levels. Or news about the community or the roads or things like that to help keep people informed, you know, during COVID times.
Those are excellent, by the way. I post them. Usually when I see that one has been posted, I go to the borough website. I copy and paste it in the Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign group along with a picture of you. And then I see what else is new on the website and, you know, basically copy and paste a link to that as well. So if something's updated or if there's new information. And also I've been using the group to keep up to date with what's going on with COVID. So
yeah.
Non-political, but, you know, everything
right.
From the president to the governor to you. That is being given out officially on COVID. I make sure that I try to get in the group in a timely manner. And then, you know, links that I get through these various announcements, I put those in as well. And when there's like an update in New Jersey on where you can get shots or what's going on with that, we post that. So I try very hard to keep people as informed as I possibly can.
You know, and that's our responsibility. That's what we have to do, to give people the news. And if you'll notice in my mayor's messages, and I post them almost all the time, I don't get into politics at all. Even in my Facebook, when I post it, it's just, here's the information. This is what's going on. And I stay away from the politics of it this way. This way everyone can read the message. They can agree or disagree, but it's not something that people will argue over whether it's appropriate or inappropriate.
Right. No, they're excellent. They're informative, and they touch on the things that you know, people need to know about in our town. So they're an excellent resource. You shared today that you were a track star when you were younger. And that's what you life lessons. That is great. And that's an excellent thing to explore, too. What other life lessons did you learn by being a runner?
Well, that's interesting. I learned teamwork because, you know, it's funny. Wow, you're bringing me back. You're bringing me back a few decades of things I haven't talked about. I remember one of my favorite races we were always in. I don't even remember what it was called. Like when you there were four of us and you each ran a quarter of the length at a time, and you had to hand off that little small baton to each other. Right, the relays, I guess it was, on the oval tracks. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always enjoyed those because those were about teamwork. And of course, there was always one of the four that was the slowest and one of the four that was the fastest, and then the other two. But at the end of the day, you all won or you all lost, you know, and that really, really taught me about teamwork and working together to the same goal, and that everyone's contributing and everyone gets the credit equally or everyone gets the blame equally in a situation like that. But really, you know, when you're not looking back, and not stopping until you cross that finish line is the key. You know, back to our Texas and Mississippi example with the masks. That's enormously important because as soon as you start thinking you've already won the race, you know, that's when you're at the biggest danger of losing.
Yeah.
You can't get over, you know, you can't get overconfident. You have to just keep going and keeping trying.
You had mentioned that sports in Tenafly. We have a lot of sport activity like every town does. Are all the school sports active now, or are some affected by the pandemic still?
Well, I'll use examples right in my own household because I know those best, right?
Right.
My son plays on the varsity high school team, football team in Tenafly, by the way, which went 6-0, completely undefeated, and took the championship this year. So we're all very proud of the Tenafly Tigers football team, that's for sure. Especially in my household personally. And so he played a full football season. They had practices. They work out. Everything they need to do to be able to succeed. And that went off, fortunately, without any of the team members becoming ill. Of course, they had, they had broken bones and things like that from playing football. But none of the COVID stuff, fortunately. So that worked out very well. They still did that. And I know that lacrosse season is about to burst onto the scene in full speed ahead in April. Maybe the first weekend in April they start practicing. So that's good news. Because the kids need to have this activity. They need to be out there. And, that's all a positive thing. And, the sports are enormously important, especially, under normal circumstances, but even more so now they take on a more important meaning when the kids are in these hybrid situations at school. Some mm-hmm. are attending, some are not attending and doing it virtually, some a little bit of both. And you've got... a lot of these kids need to be together, whether sports is a good outlet for that. And it's challenging. My youngest child is 15 years old now, and he's a sophomore in high school. So he has had the benefit, of living in Tenafly since he was in kindergarten. So he has these lifelong friendships. And so he and his peers are very fortunate. It must be enormously difficult for the parents of middle schoolers and especially elementary school children who don't really have fully formed, independent, age-appropriate, independent friend groups that the kids can kind of spend time together for their own mental health. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real challenge. And, that's also why I'm a supporter of things like these little ice rinks, where people can bring their young children out and the kids can see other kids and go out and have fun and that sort of thing. It's enormously important for the kids' mental health.
Oh, most certainly so. I was involved for a while, again, before the pandemic, with a couple of companies that did after-school programs,
right,
and special events. And then I developed my own, a company to do that. And then the pandemic came. That provided
right.
a very important service to kids because usually they were kids who were interested in a specific thing or wanted to learn a specific thing or whose parents worked. So they needed to be in the programs, until the parents could pick them up a little later on. And the kids developed the things you spoke about there. The activities were geared around developing leadership and developing teamwork and activating creativity and out-of-the-box thinking. So they used to get that on a continuing basis. And from home, it's more difficult to do that. I believe that these companies tried Zoom for a while. They may still be doing it on Zoom. But I found that it's difficult enough to keep the attention of adults on Zoom. So didn't want to attempt it with young kids.
Yeah, every parent has to decide for themselves what's in the best interest of their children. Only the
right.
parent knows. The parent knows best. It's that simple. My wife and I, we do what we believe is in the best interest of our 15-year-old and his social life, and the, every other parent has to make the same sort of decision. But the thing about sports, like, for instance, we've always kept the recreation sports programs going. We've had some fits and starts where, we suspended them temporarily and then we put them back on again, and that was understandably frustrating for parents. But we basically kept stumbling forward. and let the programs go on and give the parents that wanted to allow their children to go to them go, and the ones that choose to keep their kids home did. And, you know, we had about in programs where you have typically always you're sold out and you have 100%+ in participation. You know, over the past year, a lot of it was down to 50% participation. And every parent, you know, made the right decision for their child based on right. their set of circumstances. And so we wanted to make that opportunity. And again, that was another issue that the council and I debated, you know, significantly. And we ultimately decided that it would be a self self-monitoring group. The parents who didn't want their kids going, they wouldn't go. The ones who did would. And it turned out, to as simplistic as that sound, it took us a while to get to that conclusion, and it worked out fine.
I can see how that might take a while to get to, as do many things that are worth doing. You know, you still have to chew it up and digest it a bit and throw it around. Is there a website in Tenafly or any other resource that lists all these different, you know, places? Like, I know that there are, like, enrichment programs, and there are sports programs and educational programs and all sorts of things in Tenafly. I know
our website, we have the Recreation Department maintains its own section. You know, they have their own pages that list all the programs they have. So
okay.
you can go there. The Senior Center has a page that where you can go there and see what programs are going on, or your seniors can contact the Senior Center. Most seniors, I shouldn't say most, many, many seniors like to just simply have a live conversation with the Senior Center staff about what's going on, and they produce a calendar, and Michelle sends out emails all the time about the different programs. So there's, you know, you want to, if seniors want to get on the email list, which is probably best, rather than navigating the website, they should just call the Senior Center, and Michelle will put them on the email list.
That is awesome. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to contact all of these places over the coming months then just renew the link every month to their site. And this way, for the people who are in the Facebook group, all the resources are continuously cycling through. So that they don't have to do that search themselves. That's another service we can offer to the folks in Tenafly.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. That is fantastic.
Is there anything you'd like to see in Tenafly that, in terms of wellness, either individual wellness or community wellness, that we don't currently have? Is there anything you see that you'd like us to have that we can work towards?
Well, you know, so the first thing that comes to mind while you were asking me that question was park benches. I would like to see more park benches in town, at Oresco Park, in Hyla Park, on, you know, whether it's Washington Street or Railroad Avenue. I think more park benches would be conducive. You know, they're inviting. It's like, come sit here. You know, you pass by it in your car, and it's like, oh, there's park benches. I can go sit there if I want and have a sandwich or a coffee or something like that. I would like to see more park benches around town. I would like to see the council and I are having discussions about River Edge Avenue and whether we need to plant some shrubbery, hedges or bushes along the sidewalks there to make the space kind of less what was that architecture called, the brutalism, right? Because parts of River Edge up by the supermarket, you know, it River Edge Ave, it's kind of like you got this concrete and you got macadam and you have these stone stores, and like we think we need more greenery over there just to make it prettier and healthier appealing. So that's another thing I'd like to see. And I of course, you know, this got put off by COVID, but we want to see, we're going to do a test and hopefully we'll get it done very soon of, you know, closing off the Piermont Road where it meets East Clinton Avenue by the traffic light there next to Cafe Angelique, and turn that street and parking lot into simply a parking lot and expanding the park a little bit so that Hyla Park goes from where it is now all the way over to the railroad tracks.
Wow.
So we want to do that to create more green space over there. So when you're driving into town, you're seeing all this kind of green stuff. So there's a couple of things that come to mind that we're working on and debating about making some of those movement, forward movements.
Oh, that is great. I'm glad to hear all of that. And I haven't been walking around as much as I used to once upon a time. What's going on with the statues? You were talking about Oresco Park and Hyler Park, and I was remembering we were at one point discussing like a statue of Oresco and also of Katie Stanton for the park.
Right, so, that's... your ears must have been ringing the other night. Council President Lauren Dayton and I were talking about getting back to the whole issue because, again, we got sidetracked with COVID a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were very gung-ho. We had talked to sculptors about what would it cost to create a statue of Elizabeth Cady Stanton and put it in over at Hyler Park. A location hadn't been picked out yet. We were very preliminary, and we were getting pricing in and things of that nature. And that's something the town would like to do, is put up a statue to honor her and all the good work she did. And I think, you support the things you believe in. And if you believe in the things that she believed in, you might be on the side of the statue, and it helps remind people of, people who came before us that, we stand on their shoulders sort of thing. And so, yeah, I'm a big supporter of this, and we'll see where we go with it this year.
Yeah, that is very important. And our world now, in terms of our government, more and more women are holding positions of great responsibility, and we have a woman who's a vice president. So Elizabeth Cady Stanton would be proud.
I would think so. I would think so, yes.
Now, we're reaching the end of our conversation for today. Are there any thoughts you can share, with people? You've listed all the wonderful things in Tenafly, and there's an overabundance where, again, despite all the difficulty in the pandemic and all the challenges facing us, we are blessed to live in Tenafly. Is there anything that you could recommend to people who might not live in Tenafly? Because Tenafly, people get involved and they make things happen. Let's say somebody is in their apartment listening to the podcast and they'd like to make something happen in their town. How would they go about it? Who would they approach? Who would they speak to? A lot of people feel that they can't talk to anybody and that nobody will listen. And again, we're blessed in Tenafly, people listen.
Obviously, first choice, you speak to your mayor, you speak to your council people, you show up at public meetings and you make statements in public and, put your representatives on the spot. And I can say that because people do that to us all the time. We get put on the spot in public. that's what we signed up for, and that's okay. Calling us, texting us or your representatives in your town, or go ahead and... One of the things I suggest to people, if someone comes to me with an idea, like when Councilman Adam Michaels came to us with this idea for this ice skating rink and he was talking about it, my first response was, can you put something in writing, one-page executive summary? What's the concept? What will it cost? And how would you execute to make it happen? It's three simple steps. And what I would say most importantly is go to whoever the community leaders are with a plan so that they can say either yes or no. Don't have an idea and expect someone else to figure it out for you. If you have an idea, show up with the plan of execution. Make it easy for people to say yes. They won't always say yes, but you want to make it easy for them to say yes, which means doing all the homework beforehand, and then all they have to do is either approve the project or approve the project and approve it with money. That's what I would say.
That is awesome. And I would add to that to have patience. Sometimes it takes time for something to come into being, like with the dog parks.
Yeah.
I remember like 6 years worth of discussions that, and I was informed that those discussions were going on long before I moved back to Tenafly.
Well, look, here's a way of looking at that. Hercules. There are two council meetings a month. So that's 2 days, right? The rest of it, myself, the rest of the administration, we work, you know, 5-7 days a week, phone calls, things like that. But
right.
the council who makes the major, you know, who makes the economic decisions, right, they meet 2 days a month. So there's 12 months in a year. That's the equivalent of out of 365 days, they only work 24 days. In terms of, they work a lot more than that, you know, but I'm saying that's when the official decisions have to be made legally. Well, 24 days is about a month, right? And so a month in the real world, private world, takes a year in the government world for decisions to happen. And I always try to tell people, give people that analogy, because that's the reality. You know, it takes time to make these big decisions. You know, in the event of an emergency, it's a little bit different story. But day-to-day business takes time.
And thank you for that perspective, by the way. That is a realistic and real and really good way to think about that.
Right, right. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, we work within the framework we have to move things forward.
And one last thing before we go. You're posting your new announcements, tonight or tomorrow. Anything you could share that we have coming ahead?
Oh, for the mayor's message?
Yes.
Well, obviously I'll give a little update on where we are with COVID. I'm going to announce the soft opening and the official opening of our ice skating rink. There'll be a couple of other things, probably about sports, that I'll announce to the public. But typically what happens is I write my mayor's messages, that I give out Friday afternoon. I write those Friday morning in the late morning, so I have kind of the latest and greatest news. I don't write them days ahead of time. I do them same day.
Mark, thank you so very much. I enjoyed our conversation. I always enjoy our conversations, and I'm already looking forward to our next one. Thank you for all that you do for Tenafly, and onwards to even greater things.
Thank you, Hercules. Thank you very much for your kindness and having me on the show again.
My pleasure. And thanks to everybody
who
joined us from home. You too, Mark. Thanks to all who've joined us from home, whether you've tuned in live or you're going to tune in later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I'm going to close with Virginia Ackley's If You Can Dream.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can. and dreams.